Yesterday, full funding for tobacco production research was restored by the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee. This restoration in funding is a major boost for tobacco research. We still have one more hurdle to cross, that is the floor of the Senate, but I'm reasonably confident that we can defeat any challenges. What the subcommittee did yesterday was to add an additional $1 million over what the president himself had requested. This will mean that three scientists at the Oxford station involved in pesticide research will stay on the job. Most importantly, the restoration prevents devastating cuts for research stations in Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and elsewhere. Finally, this change in mood just didn't happen. There's been a lot of educating and quiet diplomacy going on. We have a lot of work to do on tobacco, but I intend to continue to do the job. The president's speech to the nation Sunday night was by far the most positive and forceful that he's made since he took office. There really were no new ideas, but he did show a willingness, I think, to adapt his thinking to meet the energy problems of today. His statement on limiting oil imports I found encouraging, and his Energy Security Corporation is an idea that has to be implemented. I found the speech as a whole highly responsible, and I hope that the follow-through will be just as positive as his speech. The resignation of Joseph Califano as Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare is not a surprise, and certainly his departure will not be regretted by many in North Carolina because of his ill-advised crusade against tobacco and his suit against the University of North Carolina. He had failed to support the president on key legislation, something that I think any president has a right to expect from his own cabinet members. His successor, Patricia Harris, has done a good job, in my opinion, of bringing order out of almost chaos at the Department of Housing and Urban Development. It's uncertain, of course, how she will perform at HEW, but I have been able to work well with her as a member of the Banking and Housing Committee, and I'm hopeful that these initial changes that the president has made in his administration will work well for the nation and for North Carolina. He certainly has my best wishes. The protest by truckers on the nation's highways has now turned to violence, and a truck driver was killed yesterday in a southern state. Meanwhile, foreign products that cannot be stored are rotting in North Carolina fields. This problem has to be resolved quickly. I think truckers must be assured by the federal government that they will have adequate fuel to make their runs. They must be protected from violence while on the road, and we've called on the federal administration to take steps to move in this direction. Members of my staff are watching this closely and are relaying information that is constantly coming into our Washington office. This is a serious situation that requires all of the attention we can give it. If food perishes, then the consumer as well as the producer will suffer, and if this disruption continues, both lives and jobs in industry will be lost. This cries for a quick solution and for strong leadership at all levels of government from the president on down. Carter has informed me that he's nominated Dr. Harold Black, a professor of business at University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, to be a member of the National Credit Union Board. This board generally supervises credit unions which have a federal charter or are federally connected. Dr. Black will render a real service in this position, and that's what I told the president when I endorsed Dr. Black for membership on the board. The SALT II Treaty, which is our arms control agreement with Russia, is now being discussed in the Senate Armed Services Committee, of which I'm a member. Since the first treaty was signed in 1972, the Russians have added 4,000 intercontinental warheads to their arsenal. We have added only 700. Before the first treaty was signed, we had a clear strategic superiority. Now we are equal at best. Almost everyone believes that there should be some limitations on nuclear weapons. The SALT II treaty, if its terms can be verified, would at least place some limits on the Russians and allow us to modernize and protect our missiles from a first strike. But I'm afraid the treaty will be harmful to the nation unless we move to add what weapons we need to keep pace with Russia. We cannot afford to sit back and feel that because we have an arms treaty, if it's ratified, that we can do nothing and feel safe. The president met with the lieutenant governor and the president pro tem and about 22 or 3 other members of the North Carolina Senate and House of Representatives. He briefed us on many of the cabinet changes and the things that we can expect as these new cabinet members take place. Stuart Eisenstadt gave us a very fine briefing on the state of the economy and what we can expect for North Carolina. The National Press Corps and the president himself were very much interested in the reaction of the legislators and the people from North Carolina in the recent cabinet shakeup and their response to it. The response was brought to the president was that as a whole, the people in North Carolina were very well pleased with the new cabinet shakeup and with his new appointments, and that we expected to move forward in trying to do something about now the problems of inflation and the problems of energy.
Okay.
Henry Kissinger has testified before the Senate Armed Services Committee that he has reservations about the SALT II Treaty, which is our second arms agreement treaty with Russia. He says the Soviet buildup during the past 7 years have endangered our positions in the world. It was Dr. Kissinger who engineered the first SALT treaty, and it was that treaty which gave Russia the right to develop missiles with multiple warheads. Dr. Kissinger proposes amendments to the treaty that would be of no real benefit to us, but which might cause Russia to reject its terms. There should be but two standards for accepting SALT II, in my opinion. Is our own national security and interest protected, and will it contribute to reducing the balance of terror between the world's two superpowers? This is not the time and the place for partisan politics.
After talking with 3 recruiting sergeants who have been relieved or suspended of their duties and their attorneys, I believe that it would be in the best interest of all concerned if the Army would suspend all deadlines with regard to punishment of these recruiting sergeants until such time as the Senate reconvenes. At that time, I intend to ask Chairman John Stennis and Chairman of the Subcommittee Sam Nunn to call for a full and complete investigation into irregularities in the recruiting practices. It appears that more than 50 recruiters across the country have been relieved of their duties and that these irregular practices are prevalent all over the country. We need to know more about it, and we need to know the causes rather than seeking to punish sergeants who have been recruited to do the recruiting.
The malpractice in the Army's recruiting system, for which 31 sergeants and the commanding officer in the Charlotte area have been relieved of their jobs, now appears to be a nationwide practice. Last year, when I accused the Army of cheating in inducting volunteers who could not meet the minimum qualifications, the generals assured me that nothing was wrong. Now they admit that something is wrong. I contend that it's a system which puts pressure on recruiters to meet quotas, which has led to this abuse. Therefore, today I've written Senator Nunn of Georgia, Chairman of the Armed Services Committee on Manpower, asking that hearings be held on this matter. This practice of enlisted, unqualified people not only makes cheaters of sergeants, but it actually threatens our national security. And which was it? Department of Housing and Urban Development has granted $926,000 to help build the Warren wastewater system to be located in Warrington. When Soul City lost the support of the federal government, probably its most beneficial asset was a water system that serves Warren, Vance, and Granville counties. Warren County, however, needed a system to dispose of its wastewater, and there was need for funds. It was my contention that it would cost more to build the system later on than now because of inflation. This system will serve the towns of Warrington and Norlina. It's badly needed because a water sewer system is a necessity if the area is to realize its full potential and be attractive to industry. I feel that the federal government has acted responsibly and with vision in the matter, and that this will be a big boost for Warren County and especially for the towns of Warrington and Norlina. Yesterday, the Senate passed a crop insurance program by a vote of 64 to 27 that I believe will help North Carolina farmers. The new crop insurance program is designed to phase out many of the current disaster programs. More importantly, the new crop insurance program will eventually be available to virtually every farmer and cover every commodity. The new program attempts to strike a balance between the interests of the farmer and the private sector. Under the bill, the private insurance company or industry will have plenty of room to operate. I did offer an amendment which was accepted by the Senate, which will improve the program, I think. At present, we use county yield statistics for every commodity except tobacco, where we use individual histories. My amendment will draw on the experience that we have in tobacco and direct the future of the program toward figuring losses on an individual basis. A crop insurance program is important to the farmers. The peril of Mother Nature is simply too large. The answer is what I think we reached yesterday, a program that balances the interest of farmers with those of the private sector. North Carolina is one of two states that have been selected to launch a program to provide more affordable housing to moderate-income families. As chairman of the Subcommittee on Rural Housing in the Senate, I've made such a program one of my chief priorities. Next week, which is North Carolina Home Week, and which is being sponsored by the State Home Builders Association, the first home to be completed under this program will be dedicated in ceremonies at Wilkesboro. But other homes are being built at seven other locations in North Carolina, and several will be on display next week. This could be the start of a major step forward in the building industry, and it will serve people with moderate incomes who have been priced out of the home buying market.
Our time will never start.
Despite the fact that we've had hard evidence that there are Russian combat troops in Cuba, the Soviet Union has chosen to deny this and to call the accusation mere propaganda. The refusal of the Russians to admit they have troops 90 miles from Florida, much less their refusal to negotiate their removal, will certainly postpone any vote in the Senate on the nuclear arms treaty with the Soviets. I, for one, am not prepared to consider ratification of SALT II until the matter of the troops is satisfactorily resolved. A number of other members of the Senate I've talked with feel the same way. Surely a brigade of Russian troops constitutes no threat to the United States, but their very presence there is contrary to a doctrine that we have subscribed to for many years. If Russia is really sincere about wanting better relations with the United States and a slowing of the nuclear arms race through a SALT agreement, then she'll act to remove those troops from the Caribbean immediately.